As we focus this year on following Jesus, I want us to be able to picture us walking with Jesus as his disciples did. But I want you also to remember that as you and I walk with Christ and our generation, we're walking with Christ with more power than any of the disciples had. The Lord says to you and to me, I am going to give you life, and I'm going to make that life more abundant. Some people want to talk about physical wealth, but when you hear Jesus speaking, understand that he is talking to you and talking to me, focusing on who we are as individuals because he created each of us individually from the other. Same Savior, same God, but you and I have an individual personality. All of the disciples that followed Jesus had an individual personality, and oh man, study it a little while and you'll find out you can find yourself in one of those personalities. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But as he continues to touch us, you and I continue to watch the greatest nation that's ever been known crumble. A nation will fall when morality within that nation ceases to be the standard. When a nation turns its back on God, then that nation is doomed to failure. But as God looks into the heart of each Christian, folks, it has to begin in the family. It has to begin in the church. It has to begin in every aspect of our life that we care. Today we're looking at following Jesus, loving children. Following Jesus, loving children. You all have heard me mention this before, but it is one of those things that your pastor really, really has difficulty with. And that is a phone call, or an email, or a text. Yes, I do know what those are. And to ask a question, what do you and your church have to offer my children? Is it this? Is it that? Do you have these things that will keep them interested? Folks, I believe in taking great care of children, and all of you know that. But I also know this. The greatest gift, the greatest tool, the greatest expression of love that you and I can give to a child is to teach them about Jesus. I have no problem with ball teams. I have no problem with any of that stuff. But what I do have a problem with is when that is first and foremost, bringing in partially parts of the world to please our children. I want to give my son and my grandson and all your children, I'm going to give you the best. I want you to hear about the best personality that'll ever be within their life. All the rest of it they can pick up on. But the power that the love of Christ has should be expressed by his church. And we should be ready, studied up, ready to go, to present to a young person the truth of the love of Jesus Christ. The truth and the power that individual personality can have as they go out into a world that's ready to destroy them. I remember well growing up, and here was the attitude in my generation of growing up. Children are to be seen and not heard. Well, if you read the scripture, you'll find that's not scripture. That's not biblically correct. But as a child, you would not dare say, I want to be heard. Because what you would hear would be this. You open your mouth and I'll slap your jaws. Listen, folks, I dodged many arms growing up. But to set children are to be seen and not heard. And that was done through the not intended ignorance, but it was done because of the lack of biblical preaching about children. Everybody thought they were doing the right thing. Well, I would give my boy a whipping every day just in so he would remember what is really going to happen if he does something wrong. If I were that boy, realizing I was going to have a whipping anyway, I'd make sure I did something to have a whipping over. But what Jesus says to you and says to me about our children is, I want you to correct them. But I want you to correct them in love. I want you to correct them with understanding. God says that's the way that I do it. As we're looking at scripture today, following Jesus loving children, there are two terms that you're going to read. And those of you who have your bulletin, if you look at it, you'll see a whole outline of scripture there for you. First, the definition of rebuke is to speak in an angry and critical way. When you rebuke someone, you're angry and you're critical. Indignant, the definition would be very angry over unjust and unworthy actions. Now listen to Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. Angry, critical. You kids, get out of the way. You're to be seen and not heard. When Jesus saw this, meaning Jesus was over here watching his disciples, do we not understand that Jesus is over here watching us? Do we not understand that Jesus is over here and he's watching how we treat children? Do we not understand that Jesus is watching us and with us today as much as he was with his disciples then? Our Lord is not dead. Our Lord is alive. And he's walking with us. He says he's talking with us. But when we get so caught up in the world around us, we won't listen. We will turn the volume of the world up and the volume of God down. But Jesus is watching. What's he watching? He's watching how his own disciples handle children. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Well, let's see. They rebuked to speak in angry and critical way. Indignant is to be very angry over unjust, unworthy actions. Well, they're these children. Who do you think you are that you want to come and you want to interrupt the teacher, the preacher? Well, let all of us who have all this wisdom go speak to him, just in case Jesus really doesn't know it all, we can impart to him how smart we are, and we can explain to him what we need. So you children, stay away. Jesus becomes very angry. Now, I've heard Christians say before, a Christian is not to get angry. I don't know where you got that, but you didn't get it from the Bible. We are to be angry, but sin not in that anger. If you're not angry at the things God is angry with, don't you think maybe you got the problem and not God? Or that you have the problem and not the person beside of you that you think really has the problem? Lord, if you just straighten my husband out. Really? Lord, straighten both of us out because we're a mess. We focus, folks, on reality. You and I have to turn our focus on what is real. And there's nothing more real in my life or the life of a Christian than who Jesus Christ is and the love that he had for us. My Savior has loved me since I was a child. And the older I get, the more I can look back and see how involved he was in my life. It didn't matter whether it's Dominican Republic, house to house, or the jungles of Vietnam. Now I can look back and say, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. I shouldn't even be here. You and I have a ministry as an individual. Now, folks, don't you try to get out of that. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, Jesus, at that point, assigned to you a ministry on his behalf. Well, that's the preacher's job. Let the preacher go out and share Jesus and win the souls. That's what we pay him for. If you have a problem like that, you come see this preacher. But folks, you see, it's not about what the world offers, whether it's monetary gain or whatever. It's about that ministry that has been assigned to you and to me. And when I look at the scripture, do you know, I understand that there is, and there's several ministries, but this one ministry about children is assigned to every individual Christian. We all have been assigned, along with our special gifts, along with our special abilities, along with our individual calling, you and I are called by God to watch the children and be careful in what you say to them and how you treat them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." You need to read a little background on that. Jesus was not very nice to his disciples when he saw this. The scripture says, Jesus himself says, that he was angry because what they were telling the kids was unjust and not worthy from the heart of God, that those children were being misled. Listen to verse 15. "I tell you the truth." That's Jesus looking at them. Now let me tell you the truth. You got that? You remember, you everybody raised children? You've done that. Let me tell you the truth. Jesus is angry. The disciples did not despise children. It wasn't that the disciples didn't love children. It's that the disciples were not treating the children worthily of who they are. Now listen, in 15, "I tell you the truth. Anyone," listen, these are his disciples he's talking to. And it's, "Get over here, boys. We're going to have a talk." And when Jesus calls you over for a talk, that's a Jesus is come to meeting. When Jesus does that, pay attention. It's not he doesn't love you. It is that you or I are doing something that he doesn't love, an action he does not like seeing from his children. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Well, so much for children are to be seen and not heard. Huh. Wonder where that generation got that. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. What a lesson for the disciples. But God love them all the way as they're watching Jesus ascend into heaven. And the angel comes and says, I'll paraphrase, you boys still just don't get it, do you? Yet in our own generation, how many Christians just don't get it? Well, you see, what you and I need to understand is that God is the creator, not you and me. You and I do not create children. God says, you were in my mind before you were ever conceived. I knew you. I knew what you would do. Now, I cannot explain that focusing on free will. I will never understand free will, except I know that we have it. It's just when God is sovereign and he gives us free will and he's telling us what he knew we were going to do, I don't want to try to understand it. If you can understand the God you say you worship, that's not a God. That's yourself. If you say, I've got this, that's when you lose, fall with this. That's when you stumble. Oh, Chaplain Vance, listen to me. I can go in those bars now and preach Jesus without drinking anything. Even though I'm an alcoholic. And Chaplain Vance says, no, you can't. You're going to the bar because that's the world you came out of and you want to look back. You want to be involved. 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And the Lord says it doesn't work that way. And the Lord looks at his children and he says, listen, you congregation, we are the children of God. All those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, we are of the family of God. And the family of God ought to be following the words of God. I'm saved by Jesus Christ, and I have been found not guilty of all the sin in my life. I've been found not guilty of the guilt that I was guilty for. I know I'm guilty, but I'm found not guilty. I'm found not guilty because of who Jesus is, not because I become so good. Because you and I are not so good. We got problems. And Jesus said, you want a little education? Listen to the children. Children are innocent. Children trust. You all may have been following this. I don't call them much parents. But these parents that had this, I think it was a mother that had their child pretended like he was being kidnapped. I think it's a couple of days. They locked him in the basement and they'd put covered his eyes, and it was family members. And the reason that they were doing it, he was too friendly. They were going to teach him about stranger danger. What they taught him was about adult danger. And the lack of parenting, a lack of wisdom. That child will grow up with that traumatized for the rest of his life. But he was just too friendly and too nice. At this time, Jesus, he looks to his Father in heaven. And he praises his Father for keeping this from the wise and the learned, and giving his truth to children. Jesus is saying, thank you, Lord, At least the children love me. At least the children understand. What does a child understand? They understand whether or not they can trust the adult. They want to trust mom and dad. They want to place that trust. You and I, do we not say, be respectful to elders? Be respectful to those that are around you? Do we not say that? And yet then we get so angry because our children are, they're just too friendly. Now you got to watch out. There's bad people out there. Nobody knows any more about bad people than I do. But I can tell you this. That child has the touch of the master's hand. That child is so important. As Jesus prays as his father, listen to Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and reveal them to little children. Jesus has the little children right there. He's touched them. He's blessed them. And he's comfortable. And now he's got to go back with the adults. That's a downer. Think of it. Jesus said, let the children come to me. At least they will listen, and they listen with their heart. You adults, you disciples, you listen with your mind. Peter, oh, go tell Peter, this is what Jesus said after the resurrection, go tell Peter when he comes to his senses, because Peter denied him, and Jesus loved him. You see, you can deny the love of the Lord, but you cannot deny the power that is there. You can say, well, maybe the Lord isn't the Lord, but the Lord is in your heart. I always said this to every Christian. Preacher, I don't understand. When I do these things, am I really saved? If you say a human being saves you, you got a problem. But the upside of that, if you weren't saved, you wouldn't ask. If you weren't saved, it wouldn't bother you. So the disciples, here they come back. We ready? What do they want to know? Hey, Lord, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Their mind was so focused on me. And they were just waiting for that answer. It's got to be me, boys. Did you hear Peter? James and John were the short-tempered ones that fly off. I can picture them over here arguing. No, he loves me more than he loves you. Who is the greatest? I want you to listen to this answer that Jesus gave. But I want you to listen to it in two parts. I want you to listen to it as Jesus is answering and then his guaranteed judgment for those who aren't going to pay attention to this answer. Listen to it. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 6. This time, now remember at the beginning of Matthew up there, you will find, or of Mark, you will find that they were bringing the children to him. Loved ones, parents, whoever they were. Now, the question has been asked in Matthew 18 through 2 through 6. Jesus is giving the answer. He called a little child and had him stand among him. Jesus called the child in at this time. Nobody brought him. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That popped their bubble, didn't it? It's the children. It's the child that you adults, you disciples, were yelling at, being angry with. Pay attention to them. And whoever welcomes a little child like this, I know there are some people today wanting to say, well, he's talking about newborn Christian. Folks, Jesus called a child in his midst. He called a child, and he's talking about the child. In Mark, he was talking about the children. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's suffocation. In the depths of the sea, as you would go down, it would be an imploding. That's worse than waterboarding. Horrible. Death. And why I didn't put another verse there. You all mark that on your bulletins. Because it will be Matthew 18 verse 10. Right after this. Matthew 18 verse 10. Jesus is looking at all the adults and the families that are around him. And as he's looking at them and how they have treated their children, Jesus says, I'm going to have to do this by memory. Jesus says, do not look down upon these little ones, children, for their angels, plural, are in the presence of God continually. Do not look down upon these children, little ones, he said. For their angels are in the presence of the Father continually. Did I get close? See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. You see, God, we got into this on my pastor's class this morning, as we normally do on things that don't pertain to that particular teaching, but it was dealing with angels. And I remember doing a full study on that one time. But had you ever paid attention to the fact of God's word that those angels have been assigned by God to watch after those children? And so I will hear many of people, whether they've lost a child, saying, yeah, well, where were they when my child was killed? They were right there. They were right there. Isaiah says, do you not understand that the righteous are taken from us to protect them from the evil to come? God says, I got this plan. Now, you disciples, I want you to get with it. And it's obvious, you disciples, you just don't get it. So let me tell you who does get it. And he said, children, come to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. That pure heart, pure trust, pure faith, pure love. I love Jesus. Can I accept Jesus? And a parent would say, you're just too young. You don't understand. Well, let me ask you something. Do you understand, adults, why God loves you? Now, you look back at your life and how you've treated God, and he still loves you. Do you understand it? I do not understand God's love. I don't understand God's love for me. I do not understand the depth. But he gave me life. And he gave me life more abundant. And I can see a regeneration of that life he's given me through every child. Whether it's mine, my grandson, or yours and your grandchildren. I see the eyes of God and the heart of God in a child that's reaching out to the adults and saying, adults, we're not tall enough to do what you need to be doing. So would you get down to business and make sure we have a nation that I can grow up in? A nation of freedom, a nation of love. A nation full of understanding, one for another. And God once again allows the children to speak to the mind of adults. And once again, the adults say, children are to be seen and not heard. Children. Jesus said, you kids come to me. I'll bless you. Don't you pay any attention to those disciples over there. I haven't been able to get hardly anything in those heads. You come over here. You see, I go directly because of who Jesus is in me and in you. Our prayers go directly to his Father. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anyone else to direct you into how to pray. Talk to God. But reveal unto God the hurt and the pain that is in your life. And more times over, I've been blessed by listening to a child. Just out of the basic love wisdom that God has placed in that little heart. You and I, following Jesus, loving the children. Do you love enough to say no? Do you love enough to take a broken child that's been hurt from something that goes on at school? Do you love enough and to share with that child? Don't you worry about that. We'll work through it as a family. We can handle it. Once again, let me remind you of this. Parent, listen well. For God says to each of us, don't mess with my children. Do you know that's a direct condemnation from Jesus himself? Notice that. He picked the sin of abusing children. He picked that sin. And he said, don't, because I will show you the judgment that will come upon you. When that child comes home, listen to me, parents. When that child comes home from school, having a hard day, when that child comes home from a ball game or whatever, and couldn't hit anything, had a bad day. When that child walks through that door, that child ought to be able to slam that door, lean back against it and say, phew, I'm home. Because home is where true love ought to be. Home is where protection ought to be. It is not up to the world to raise my child or yours. It's up to the parent to accept responsibility. And of all situations, Jesus says, I put this right up there first and foremost. Allow the little children to come to me. But they just don't understand. Good. I wish more adults would say, I just don't get it. Then the preaching would be better. And the education of the Word of God would be better. You and I, give our hearts to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. And listen to the greatest statement you'll ever receive back. Good, Larry. I'll do it for you. It's all about the love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the love. The love, Father, that you place within our heart. The understanding, Father, that you give to us, we do not ourselves understand. Thank you, Father, for sending children to direct us. Thank you for the love that you've placed within us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that it will be through your truth that each one of us will be able to take your word to a lost and dying world, and that we be the body of Jesus on earth within our congregation that will allow the little children to be with us and to teach that truth. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.